Event happens, people empathize, and then it's like, okay, people's like, okay, we're gonna make change. The change starts to start, people stop doing it, and then people go back to their regular day lives. And how do we break that turnover and keep pushing forward? I feel like was my idea of my reflection, I feel like, of the 2020 demands.
Prior to, honestly, 2020, I was very much like, well, the systems don't work anyway, so what does my voice matter? Like, I was very discouraged by it, and very, like, pessimistic about it, whereas now, and after that point in time, I was very much like, okay, these are not effective systems, but it's what we have to work with. So, like, if these are the rules I have to play by, I'm going to play by these rules to get to just, like, push something forward at least a little bit. Because, like, having a bunch of people resigned to the way things are is never going to change anything.
I was not a part of the list of demands. And I only heard about it through rumors, because I didn't start at the college until months after all that happened. But there had been rumors of ugliness and what seemed like some valid complaints about most theater departments in the country.
I did find it a little crazy that I had completed two whole semesters and it was so fresh. And up until that point, I had no idea about the demands. But it does make a lot of sense. It's the first time I've ever heard of a land acknowledgement, really, at Brooklyn College, and I'm a little sad. And it was so, like, such a part of the culture here to do them before every single class, which initially struck me as, like, really, really cool. And to find out that it was a part, just one element of the student demands that people are actually holding up is really, I don't know, it's cool to see that certain things are being upheld. Of course, there are things, after reading through them now, there are things that can use a little bit of love.
At that point in time, I was really feeling a lot of my community of students, like, feeling really unheard and really, really, like, indignant and angry about the way that things have been going, like, not just in the larger scale, but, like, in, you know, I think any smaller community ends up being a microcosm for the whole world and society, like, whether we're trying to or not, that's just how it ends up. So it's like, I'm seeing that happen.
That there was extreme willingness and desire amongst the faculty here to evolve the culture. And so, in as much as they were defending their practices, they were also acknowledging the need for change and a willingness to overhaul every ounce of the processes and protocols here.
I feel like sometimes demands cannot be shifted or evolved into something different without the support of your own community. Standing by yourself screaming for change can only do so much sometimes.
It is morale boosting. It's like, it's like keeping the world in a continual sense of renewal and retreat, right? Retreat, renewal. You know, how do we, like, refresh our values and refresh our commitments? And because it takes a lot out.
I wrestle with the question of what is our obligation to training the next generation of artists? That is the number one question on my mind at all times. And I think what the cultural revolution that we're in has taught me is, well, I accept that we're in a transition phase. So I allow myself to not know.
Arts programs around the
But I have
country
to hold the
currently
question.
work is not working for everybody. It's working for some people and not for others, and we can see who it's working for and who it's not working for.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to create a program that works for the people who are in this community and beyond. And it's and like that's exciting to me, and that's worth having meetings for. That's worth spending the extra hours
And
at
how do
school
we
for.
provide access for students who are going to continue to change in terms of their values and vision of what their work is about, exactly as you're doing? And how do we, how does the program support that? Well, I think it supports it by listening to and encouraging students to develop their own sense of value and not, as I was have always been prone to do because of military school,
Without a
swallow
strong
the
sense of
company
self,
line.
strong sense of self. And I think it's important that we teach these artists how to find their self sense of self and stick with it in some shape or form, and not and how to embrace it and not be embarrassed by it.
What are we trying to create? And I don't know where it's going. And I think what we can teach is, work ethic and point of view and being deliberate in your choices and making choices, like all of the process-oriented practices, and then really divest in the result.
If we can make an educational environment that prepares people to make change, that's when the industry will change. If we make an educational environment that says, like, we are not trying to, produce a kind of student that has existed, or a kind of actor, or a kind of director that we keep that that they want us to produce, so that we can keep the industry running the way it has been, and we say that we want people to leave here and change the world they're entering.
Yeah.
Like, that means something.
It's one of the reasons why I came here. And I mean, aren't we ranked like the top diverse school or something?
Yeah.
Which, like, kind of means nothing to me, because it's like, okay, now fund us.
This is great, thank you, but now fund us,
Because yeah, a lot of the faculties and I remember the faculty was like, oh, if they lose KIPP or BFA head, the budget loses. And I'm like, that speaks to the testimony of Brooklyn College in itself. Why is it the CUNY system is functioned that way, that if the department head leaves, the money will be stripped away from the theater and the arts?
All of the like bureaucracy and like how long it takes to get things done, and like all the red tape that exists that like, I think it's really easy to be like upset at like, your first level leaders, like your program head or your professors or whatever, when really like it has to do with the boards above them and the boards above them and the chancellor above them, and it's not super
People in charge,
clear
creative
that
leaders,
that's how it works. I
decision
think
makers
to
in
each
any community
student,
need to look like the community.
every kind of significant support from Brooklyn College administration, with particularly the president, the provost, the vice president of whoever he is, finance, the guy, I can't think of his name, Gilbert. And it's remarkable. How many performances has the president come to see of ours? None.
Yeah.
The provost, none. It's like, okay, that's the real, for me, that's the problem in terms of civic responsibility and all of the questions you're posing, is that they haven't shown a real commitment in terms of one of the departments who can most powerfully affect it.
Everything we're instituting has been in line with that agenda of, decolonization and inclusion. And so there's still growing pains, and we're under-resourced, which is not by coincidence, I think. Like, these kind of efforts often get hobbled by being under-resourced.
A lot of it is I think that there was a lot of like learning and listening that needed to be done in that first year, where like not a lot of stuff actually got done. So it's like I see where we're moving in the right direction, you know, and like I definitely see on like the lower levels, like the people that are actually a part of our community are trying to like make change for the better, and like approach the art differently. And I've seen it work and I've seen it not work.
I'm not sure it feels very different today than it did when I first got here. My impression of the department has been really positive, but I know that's not the case for everyone. And I've seen actually some pretty negative things firsthand now that I think about it. Overall, with the events like Civic Saturday, I do think we have a little bit better of a community, and we at least talk about these issues more often, which is great, but we could do a lot better, and hopefully we will next year, and we'll feel more of that change.
Yeah, like the Alcohol Flatbush series has been a manifestation of that, of like, mm-hmm. Sometimes when you want work, you have to make your work. Sometimes when you want the program to be better, you have to make the program better.
A lot of it is rooted in the fear of looking stupid, of like saying the wrong thing. And I don't think we should be ashamed of that. I think it's okay to fall on your face, to publicly be an idiot, because you're learning.
It's easy to ignore one person, and it's easy to dismiss whatever complaints they have as something specific to that one person. But when we all get together and say this aspect of our program is not working, or bring attention to a matter. And I really like numbers. I think it's important to get these things quantified, and we're stronger as a group. A lot of people don't feel comfortable speaking one-on-one to people of authority. They might have a biological response to that. So they need support. People who are good at commanding attention should do that on behalf of people who maybe can't. We all have skills. We're all lacking in some areas, but if there's more of us, then we can cover everything
and
be stronger together.
And that's
together.
How I found the new faculty. It was all referrals from people who were down for the cause, mm-hmm. This notion of decolonization and of reinventing theater in a post-George Floyd era. Mm-hmm. And how do we, like, you know, my whole thing is that this is a generational change, what we're asking.
Yeah, I'm not interested in falling under a category or falling under like some sort of box. And I don't feel that way when I'm here, luckily. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm being judged for the way I look, mm-hmm. that I don't have the look or something, or I don't have the voice or the body or things like that. Luckily, that has not been my experience, and I'm very proud to say that.
It is so hectic being
and that's why I come here.
As we said, like a lot of us, I think the majority of us are working with students.
Exhausted.
When you have to like make the grade and make ends meet, then like your bandwidth for having these wider conversations is low, and it's understandable. But it means that a lot of people are like complaining amongst themselves about things that like people want to know, and people would love to hear that students are affected by, because if they don't know that students are affected,
by going to your small communities, your other community members may have that spark to connect with someone else that you may not have that connection.
I resonate so deeply with it, and being seen and represented is so important, and I just need that more from the department constantly. And I don't need it to be like it should just be a given. It should just be, you know, it doesn't need to be a huge thing. It just like, yeah, of course we have to offer these roles because our program is full of people of color, because there are so many of us, and we deserve that representation. We deserve those specific roles that are uniquely for us. A lot of them
are.
She said, "What do you think? How do you think this play is going to actually change anything in the culture?" And she was like, you know, provoking me. And I said, "Tina, I have no clue. I'm doing this play because it's changing me. All right. And that's important because I'm going to keep making plays. I'm a young guy. And so the more I change and the more the my values evolve, the plays will evolve. That's all I can control."
A socially engaged artist is an individual who finds value in social interaction by sharing thoughts and ideas with other individuals within their community.
I think I initially taught myself my craft. So I personally decided I needed to become trained in it to sharpen my skills and make everything better, and also to join the conversation. Art is such a reaction to the world around us. You could make art that's really personal to you and that's really, really special, but in a collaborative art form like theater, art that is informed about our current climate, whether it be actual climate or social or political or whatever, I feel art tends to be
I think
to
theater
better.
Is uniquely suited to making people really see new perspectives, and it can kind of force you to walk a mile in someone else's shoes, because for a couple hours your life centers around another person. So I found that I'm just not really interested in plays that perpetuate the perspectives I've already experienced in life. So in my own artistic practice, I'm trying to do plays that have characters that I can learn something from or gain an appreciation of something new through their perspectives. And I think when we bring that to an audience, our captive audience, they get new ideas as well, and maybe they become more accepting of different choices in life and different circumstances in life. And I think that's
the students,
really powerful.
I hope feel heard and feel seen and feel like not only are they encouraged to find their own artistic voice, they're encouraged to embrace their whole identity in every aspect of their work, and to constantly they're allowed to question historical practices and traditions, and well, why, and even all the classics and the modern and all that stuff steeped in white supremacy, we look at it through a lens of, this is not an ideal to aspire to, this is just what has come before. Mm-hmm. How do we appropriate this for our purposes now?
I then challenge myself, okay, what is one thing from your culture? What is one thing from your traditions? What is one thing from your sexuality? Or what is one vital experience that you have experienced that no one else has gone through? How can we put that into the piece?
Integrity also means showing kindness to others, leading with love and being kind with others. Giving others the space to be themselves. And that's something that I try to continuously uphold, not just in my life in general, but in my
art. I want students to feel like there's a community here, a real, real, genuine community here, where they feel like they can talk to anyone, and meet up with somebody and just create something and have the space to do
that. I hope future students will just, I hope that they'll gain some hope and maybe see some changes get made and feel inspired to always keep working at this. It's going to be a long time, and I don't think the department will ever be perfect, but it should always be striving for perfection.
I hope they know that,
because it'll end up
based on learning
being
about how
great.
Previous students took action, that they too can work together to make necessary changes within this department
and to make it an overall better learning environment. If there is something in this department that doesn't sit right with you, or you feel like something needs to change, you don't have to sit with it and just decide, well, I've only got a few semesters left, I'm on my way out. Or no, I feel like banding together and relying on those around you, coming together with like-minded people, together you can make
so changes. With your creativity, you can't be lazy. You must figure out how to create. And if you know there's an injustice and you want to act on it, don't wait. Life is uncertain and you don't know. One day you might catch your own wings. And
Yeah. I don't know what's in store, but I'm very excited and I am very willing to change things here. I'm so happy to be a part of that.
What is it like to walk into a room and to not feel like you have to fit in? To not only open the door for someone, but to make sure they make it safely across the threshold and feel like they're at home. My story of loneliness is so common, it's not even worth sharing. To uproot your entire life only to have people ignore you. No pats on the back for making it through the day without crying. A hard week is only followed by another hard week. When everyone around you is submerged, it doesn't matter that you're drowning. It took me ages to find community. That doesn't mean I couldn't give a sense of community to people. I know what it's like to be the new person. It requires a certain amount of humility to bring a person up to one's level, to get people into the room with you who have been at your side instead of chasing the ones at the top. I find it humbling to know that there are things I don't know. It means there is always room for growth. I am no better than the new person because they can teach me things too. No matter how far I get in my education or in life, I go back to the beginner's mindset. What can I take away from this introduction? If I have the ability to climb the ladder, who can I take with me? Some people are one opportunity away from achieving their goals. Can I make that happen? One handshake, laugh, or high five can transform a person's life. Compassion for the underdogs, the wounded, the invisible. Treating the janitors with the same respect as you would a CEO. Being an outcast is waiting for an invitation that will never arrive. The words, "Can I come too?" being stuck in your throat. Because turning heads, fake smiles, and a sure is more painful than an outright no. The longing to feel wanted, an unreciprocated friendship. I never want others to feel this way. I hope people can see my ship of resilience and empathy and ride with me. I hope I can guide you to the dock of strength and courage. But more importantly, I hope you find your lighthouse and even realize that the light was in you all along. So come aboard. I'm curious to know what thunderstorms, what monstrous waves brought you here, and I'll tell you mine. Sometimes we need the people going through the same experience to feel safe, at peace, and at home.